Italy, the new name in electronic music, presents his new album, Looking at the Stars. Check it out at www.vitalinemusic.com and here at BBS Radio, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be discussing today an aspect of mind power that it's amazing that people experience on various levels. Having been involved in the work of mind for as many years as I've been, I've seen so many variables. A common term that is used, especially in the psychic paranormal area, is channeling. Well, that can mean different things to different people. My guest today is Riz Mirza. His publication is called Red Eagle Speaks. And Riz is an individual that is the channeler. And we're going to be finding out more about this and his experience. In fact, Riz is with me right now. I want to welcome you to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here, Donna.
Riz, I would like for you to give your definition of a channeler. In your mind, how would you explain it to someone that had never heard it before?
Well, the first thing I would talk about is how we use the word channeling in our day-to-day lives. There are people who have no connection to or even perhaps even any interest in the kind of work that I do as a psychic medium, yet they have used the word channel. You can find people who will use the word channel in a situation where they just finished a speech and they say, wow, I totally channeled that speech, or I totally channeled that talk I gave at the office today. So it usually refers to something that happens. Usually I feel it's with a person talking, where the words just come to you and you didn't have to think much about it. Sometimes it happens when you're even in an argument with someone and just these very powerful and clear, concise thoughts are expressed. And the person doesn't know, I don't know where I got those words from. They always say after they finish that statement. So I talk about it that way to people who have never experienced channeling in the psychic arena. So what is a channel? I guess you can compare it to when you're watching television. Those are television channels. What does your TV do? It picks up frequencies that are flying overhead. Right now, there's wherever you are listening to this, there's thousands of frequencies flying over the apartment or house or building you're sitting in. And if you have a TV, then you can tune into the one of those frequencies, any one of those frequencies. The TV antenna or just pulls it out of the air and turns that frequency, which you can't see or hear, it turns it into pictures and sounds in bright, brilliant colors on your television screen. Mm-hmm. And so you have channel 1, channel 2, channel 3, and so on and so on. I compare that that process to what I do with what I like to call the infinite intelligence. Some people call it the universe. Some people call it God. Some people call it the angels. Whatever you want to call it, there is something that I'm picking up on. And like a television channel, I turned it into pictures and sounds for people who get readings from me. So they come and sit down in front of me, and I tune into their guides. Their spirit guides is the term I like to use, and a lot of people use that term. And I pick up on those frequencies, and it helps people with guidance in any aspect of their lives. Now, channeling. So the kind of channeling that I do is called trance channeling. It's a very unusual and rare, I guess you could call it ability or gift, where I enter into a deep trance-like state. In fact, it's so deep that it's like falling asleep for me. And just imagine you fall asleep and then you wake up and somebody tells you you've been talking for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in trance channeling, I allow a spirit guide to come through and speak to me. So we're not talking about ghosts, and we're not talking about anything kind of strange or spooky that way. These are very highly evolved beings. And if you don't believe in spirit guides, well, what can I say? This is it's my mission in life to tell people and show people that you've got spirit guides. And when I allow the spirit guides to speak through me, it's quite remarkable. remarkable. The information that comes through is very, it's almost poetic. It's certainly intelligent, highly intelligent, and very wise and loving. There really is nothing, there's no negative energy that comes through whatsoever. And many books have been channeled on. Of course, I'm not the only trance channel in the world. There are amazing, great channels out there. One of the most famous was Jane Roberts, who in the 60s wrote a book called Seth Speaks.
Mm-hmm.
My book is called Red Eagle Speaks, and in homage to the wonderful work that Jane Roberts did, I called my book Red Eagle Speaks because Red Eagle is the name of the spirit guide that speaks through me to many, many people here in Los Angeles every week, several times a week, but also all over the world where we've traveled. And I can talk more about Red Eagle if you want.
Yes, I'd like to do that. What I want to do is mention that in the old school, whenever you're reading books about mediums that were in the 1800s that were recognized, especially when spiritualism became quite predominant,
yes,
in Europe, and then it was because of the Cook sisters, it was evolved in the United States. And we all know about, or those of us that have read, we all know about the hoopla that evolved with the Cook sisters as years went by. But this is really not a, I would say, an extremely unique phenomenon. I agree with you that it is not a common experience because it is something that when you release yourself from being consciously present and make it okay for someone else to come through and utilize you,
right,
in that format, it is an entirely different level. And the old term was trance mediumship. That was,
yes,
one of the terms that was used. So I find it, and always do find it, interesting how semantics will change so that a different generation will adopt a different word because it's a much more comfortable word to utilize. It's almost like it's more socially acceptable. But again, I just give that little bit of history because it's really fascinating history, and it exists in every culture in the world.
Every single culture, no matter,
right,
what background you come from, they refer, they have people who trans-channel, and there are mentions of spirit guides in every tradition.
Mm-hmm. Every single tradition, you go through it, it is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I would want to present to you as a question, because people in their minds, if they've never experienced this themselves, which many people have not,
yeah,
either in observing someone that goes through this, or finding that maybe they have the capacity, when the choice is made to accept this, it's really quite interesting, and different people demonstrate different ways. Some people go through a little bit of a contortion as their body,
mm-hmm,
is adapting.
Mm-hmm.
Others don't. It's just like they click out and they click in, and it's as smooth as silk.
Yep.
When you do it, do you find that in the process of having evolved in this work, because you started communicating with Red Eagle in 2008,
yes,
if I remember correctly.
Got it.
And when this started, was this your first experience with trance channeling, or
no,
was this
not at all? It was my first experience of certainly of me trance channeling, but the story of how I even quote unquote became a trance channel is pretty interesting. I never had any intentions of being in the quote unquote metaphysical field or the spiritual path in this way. I was a musician and an artist, and that was my goal ever since I was a little kid. And though looking back, I did have psychic experiences,
mm-hmm,
pretty clear psychic experiences now that I'm a grown up, I look back and say, whoa, that was a psychic experience, and there was no explanation for that. But I had no intention of this, and there was no one in my family who was a psychic. You know, a lot of psychics, grandmothers were psychic, and nothing of the kind was in my family. I had a lovely family, but they didn't do anything like that. And my life was spent pursuing a musical career, an artistic career. And one evening back in the 90s, mid-90s, a friend of the family, someone I didn't even know that well, said, hey, I'm going to this channeling event tonight. Are you interested in coming? And you can find out about your career, and you can ask about your band. I was singing in a band. And of course, like every young musician, you would love to hear about the future success predicted by some psychic. And so I was really into it. And I said, yeah, I'd love to see that. And they said, oh, he leaves his body and a spirit guide speaks through him. This was just so intriguing to me. And I thought, I've got to see this. So I went. And I wouldn't call myself a skeptic, but I would call myself, you know, I was a keen observer and a very highly aware of, I would say, what I would think to be fake or not real.
Mm-hmm.
Went in there, you know, not wanting to be a skeptic, but also not just going in there blind and going, it's real right from the very beginning. I was very balanced, and I went in, and it was very simple. It was in New York City, and the trance channel's name was Alex Murray, and he was an older gentleman. It was about maybe 16, 17 people in his apartment, and he sat in a chair and proceeded to guide us through a little meditation, and what do you know? He led us through the meditation. He closed his eyes. His head fell forward in the chair, and a few seconds later, a different voice came out of him. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, he was using, the spirit guide uses the vocal cords of the person they're channeling through. Listen, you can, if you drive a Chevy or you drive a Lamborghini, you know, it's still, you're still driving. It's a different car, you know, it's still four wheels and an engine.
Right.
But the spirit guide has to use whatever vocal cords are in you. So it's not like a completely different voice came through. It was obviously coming through that vocal box, but it was very distinct, and the accent was different, and the complete mannerisms were different. But on top of that, it was pure wisdom. See, that part you can't fake. It was pure, uncompromised, unbridled. It was like prose. You know, I mean, like poetry, like prose. And very moving. And there were no pauses and no ums or ahs or hmm. It was just like music flowing through. And Spirit Guide went around and gave messages to these people. I didn't know any of the people. They obviously didn't know each other. I saw them all come in, and there were some beautiful, profound messages that stirred these people, and some people would cry, and some people would just smile and nod their head and say thank you. And I was very impressed, and the Spirit Guide came to me when it was my turn, and I was just ready to hear about how I was going to be the next, you know, big rock star. Proceeded to just chop me down. Donna just like totally didn't pay any attention to my musical aspirations or my artistic ambitions, and, you know, said some things about how I would be giving messages and that to many, many people. Now, through my own ego, I was just connecting it to, yeah, I'm a singer, and of course songs are like messages to people. So yeah, this guy's not bad. He gets that I'm doing this. And then when I asked about, was this going to be the year that my band got the record contract, and the spirit guide just said, no, and that's not your path. And to tell any young musician that that's not their path, you know, you might as well be talking to a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, okay, so he was right about everybody else except me. And then they proceeded to tell me that I was a channel and that I would be living in California one day and giving messages to people. Well, I thought that was probably the worst $30 I ever spent.
I love stories like this. Okay.
Walked out of there totally saying, you know, and sometimes people come to my circle now, and they'll tell, you know, my partner, Araya Miller, who's my fiancé, I'm not aware during the circle, so she'll say, yeah, this person walked out, thought you were wrong about them. And, of course, everybody else I was right about, or Red Eagle was right about. And there's always somebody, and I like to tell this story sometimes to people before the circle, and I say, I was that person, and I ended up here. And the most interesting thing about this is that I did not listen to that message, Donna, for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Used to believe it, and no one was going to tell me what I was and what I wasn't, that I wasn't a musician, that I was a channel. I knew that I was a musician, but it was that wasn't going to be the first thing in my life. It was going to be that I would help people in this way. And I hadn't a clue how it was going to happen. But over the years, my psychic sense is the only way I can describe it, got stronger and stronger. And back in 2007, 2008, it really hit a crucial point and just exploded. You know, and this story, even though I'm talking about channeling, people in their lives can relate to this in their own way. with something else in their lives. It was just a breakthrough when I realized why I was here on the planet and what I was supposed to do. So I began.
All right. Let me ask a question, because I know that there are some that would be interested in this. When did you become aware that you were being used as that facilitator for Red Eagle? I'll tell you why I'm asking you the question. There are people that have gone through various experiences, and I think of one person in particular that I knew quite well. And when it happened with him, he was actually unaware that it was happening until family members told him what was going on, because he'd find himself in a chair or maybe even on the floor, and they'll say, well, this was really interesting. Did you know that blah, blah, blah was coming through? He said, I beg your pardon. And it really took an awareness, a willingness to understand this. And of course, fortunately, this particular person I'm thinking of had people around him that were familiar with this. He was not. But he was totally unaware of this, and they educated him. How did it happen with you?
Well, the way it happened with me is, first I was getting what I call psychic hits, meaning I was getting information about a person. So it would be sitting on the subway in New York City, and I could feel that the person sitting next to me really needed to call their sister, or that the person next to me was about to switch jobs and to really go for it, or the person's house was going to get sold. Information like that was coming. Even the month that they were born, I would just turn to them and say, excuse me, were you born in April? And this would be a total stranger. And they'd say, yes. And so it started off with that kind of information. Then I just started, I would hear the names of spirit guides around the person. So the person would be, you know, next to me in a restaurant. I could feel a very angelic presence. So there's no other way to describe it. I just felt it, that there was this very beautiful presence around a person, and they would give their name to me. And I want to talk about something. A lot of people think that people who are their friends or relatives are their spirit guides. And I want to say that in my experience, and a few other mediums who I'm friends with, that's not the case. Your loved ones are not your spirit guides. You actually have a team assigned to you that are your spirit guides. Your loved ones are around you. They help to guide you. They do a little networking for you over there on the other side, but they're not your official spirit guides. Those people were your guides when they were here on the planet. They did enough. So, I'm talking about spirits of people who actually were on the planet, end up as spirit guides. I've channeled Thomas Edison and people like that, famous composers, inventors, different world leaders and writers have come through. But really the most striking spirit guide that ever approached me was Red Eagle. And one day I was sitting in meditation. And if you want to increase your psychic intuition, and everybody has some to some degree, daily meditation is the key to this. And I was in a daily meditation, and in my meditations I would write a lot, and one day I felt an incredible presence near me, and I heard the voice in my head, and it was a Native American voice, and he just said his name was Red Eagle, and that he was here to be my guide. And you have many spirit guides, but I knew that he meant he was kind of the main guide.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, would you like me to speak through you one day? And I said, you don't have to wait till one day, my friend. Let's go for it now. And I had a friend who was spending a lot of time with me at the time, and she was a doctor, and so very rational kind of mind, very scientific mind, but she was open to this, and I sat with her and just let myself slip out. I kind of thought I was going to take a nap, and what I was worried about was I actually was just going to fall asleep. That I would wake up and she would say, well, you slept for an hour, Riz. Nothing else happened. But that wasn't the case. There was several pages of material of beautiful teachings about life that were given. And then it just started. I went on a roll after that and haven't looked back since.
This book that you've put out, Red Eagle Speaks, this is the first one that you put out about him?
Yeah, this is the first one. This book is very interesting. It was literally, I think it's 13 chapters, and each chapter was dictated in one night. So it's it's a pretty neat way to write, be able to write a book, is that a chapter was written in one night, and 2 weeks later there's a book. Mm-hmm. And Red Eagle is a very interesting spirit guide, because his English is kind of broken. That lifetime that he lived over a century ago in America, he speaks like a Native American, where it's not very learned, the language, but it's very powerful. And we faced an interesting predicament when the book was being transcribed, is that the predicament was that people are going to think that there are all these grammatical errors, but there weren't any. That's exactly the way he speaks. And mm-hmm. for those people who have seen him in person, they know that. It's actually kind of endearing when you sit and read it, and when you sit in front of him and you hear him. So when you read it, we had to make a note for people that, listen, there are no grammatical errors, and this is how he speaks, and try to imagine it. So I would go into trance each night, and Araya would tape it and then transcribe it, and that's how the book came to be. It's direct from him. There's nothing by me in it other than an introduction.
I find it interesting, and you have, you know, various titles in your book. The first chapter is called Seed, which talks about the origins of the self. You have perception, control, and balance, what's normal, being present, the mirror of life, what is your truth, inner vision, abundance, and there's many more. And what I would like to do is just pull out the chapter on perception, because it is a word that can encompass a great deal. And most of us have our perceptions in a given moment that frequently are colored by whatever experiences we have been through and or whatever we have been indoctrinated with, socially, religiously, whatever it might be. And usually for those perceptions to expand, to encompass a greater level, you have to be awake. That is what I will say. And I think this is addressed very, very well in this chapter. Now, when he was giving the information on perception, he goes into a topic about sleep. Tell us about this aspect of our lives, because most people that I'm aware of are vivid dreamers. I am. I always have been. Sleep is a time where sometimes you work harder when you're sleeping than when you're awake.
Sometimes you wake up from a night of sleep and you're more exhausted than when you went to sleep.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we travel when we sleep. There's no other way to tell people, to explain it. Everyone has experienced falling back into the body after a dream. Like, you literally feel yourself go, whoom, and you're back, you kind of hit the mattress a little bit. Well, why is that?
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving. Your consciousness is leaving. It's traveling into other dimensions, realities. Listen, we need to talk about these things now, because it's been, this is something that, this curious quote-unquote phenomenon of dreaming and sleeping. And the interpretations about dreams, for example, you know, there's so many books on dream interpretation. And I just tell people, listen, throw those books away, because what you dream about has to do with what it means to you in your life.
Right.
If I dream about a pear, it may be because I remember my grandfather's farm and there were pears, and it was the most beautiful time of my life when we would go pick the pears off the trees. And for you, maybe, you know, you had a car accident with a truck full of pears and it was the worst day of your life. So if we both dream about pears, it means completely different things. And in dream interpretation books, they have some blanket explanation of, if you dream of a pear, it means this. So
one of the things, and I'm watching the time, and that's why I apologize for interrupting you. One of the things that Red Eagle said is, try to find a way inside of yourself to fully expect better results than what you've hoped for. Try to feel what it would feel like to have those things. Because when you were told by your friend that money was yours, you believed it, you felt it came from an authority, you perceived it as a fact, and what you perceive as fact will become fact. That talks about the power of the mind.
I love that teaching by Red Eagle, and it goes into more detail in that example that he gives. Basically, in a nutshell, for the readers, you know, he gives this example that, you know, if you were told that right now by an authority that you really believed, you know, like say a friend called you and told you, hey, I want all this money, I'm going to give you half. It's almost like all your problems would disappear and you'd be in a better mood and you'd feel better and all of these things would happen for you that would put you on a positive role for the rest of your day. And then you found out you didn't really have it and it was all a joke being played. You would just drop down back into the negative energy. And that it's a comment about this inner dialogue that we have in our heads. How many negative thoughts are going through your head each day about that you can't do this, you're not good enough for that, you're not pretty enough, smart enough, handsome enough, strong enough, you know, you're not in the right city, you're not in the right field. There's so much negative reinforcement that goes on in our heads. And this, the idea of this perception is everything. I mean, you know, it goes back to simple things like people talk about the glass being half full and half empty. Okay, we're kind of getting bored of that statement. But there's really something to look at here, and it's that people who believe that they are stronger, believe that they are more successful, believe that they are successful right now, always attract more strength, more success, more love.
Mm-hmm. I agree. In the book section about being present, and there was some other commentary in other chapters that relate to this as well.
Yeah.
It's changing the past. Now, this is something people may find a little bit odd, but our perception, I'll use that word, about the past can make the present something extremely painful, uncomfortable, or vibrantly special.
Yeah.
And dependent on how we look at the past, if we change our perceptions about the past,
we change the past.
We change the past, but we also change how we'll work with today.
Oh, yes.
That moves us forward.
You talk to anyone and you ask them, tell me a situation that happened in your past where at the time it was terrible. Now, talk to me about if that situation hadn't happened, how many great things came from that? Maybe you had a breakthrough. Maybe you went and maybe because of that bad situation, you met someone who introduced you to someone who introduced you to that person, and that person, you ended up with the job of your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of that so-called accident, be it a physical accident or an emotionally trying time in your life, it leads to something else. And right now, you are connected to the thing that you want the most. It's happened in your life. If you look back right now, you'll say, wow, this person's a really good friend of mine. And if I hadn't 10 years ago gone to that, I don't know, if I hadn't gone to the grocery store that day, I wouldn't have bumped into this old friend who led me to this thing and that thing and that thing. And 10 steps later, I met the best friend I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
That meant that when you were going to that grocery store, when you were 10 steps away from meeting the best friend you ever had, that means that at that moment, you still were connected to your best friend because it was just a left turn, right turn, left turn, down the hill, around the corner, up the hill, and there was your friend. Means the energy, the line of energy was still there. And that means that right now, the thing that you want, you are connected to. It's just a matter of the steps. So I talk to people and I tell them, listen, if you're wondering to go left or right, it doesn't matter. Just make a move. Go left or go right, it doesn't matter, because once you make the right turn, you'll know where to go from there. And you are being guided. You just have to silence your mind and the internal dialogue, the mental noise, just so if you can just silence that, quiet that mind, you will hear and feel the guidance.
I agree. Riz, I know that we're out of time, but before I give out your website, I want to make a couple of statements here. Red Eagle says, no matter how many things or people you encounter that disappoint you, never betray your commitment to good, and the greatest battles are the battles within, not the battles outside with other people, but the battles within yourself. And I think those words of wisdom are timeless. Riz, it has been a delight having you. I do know that you have a website that people can go to, and it's rizmirza.com. That's R-I-Z, M like Mary, I-R, Z like zebra, A.com. That's rizmirza.com. The book is Red Eagle Speaks. It's been delightful having you as a guest today. Thank you so much for sharing, and I wish you the best, and send me your next book when you come out with one.
You got it, Donna. It was a pleasure to speak to you.
Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and keep on doing your work. It's a good thing.
Thank you. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Red Eagle Speaks. Riz Mirza, a channeler, if you will, trans-channeling, he likes to call it. I think you'd find it a good read. It's always wise to be able to keep your mind and attitudes open to what may not seem to be logical, but may have a richness available for you that you wouldn't expect. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. 888-815-9756 will be the number to call in. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are open if you'd like to give me a buzz, and I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I thought I would share with you, because of the guest that we had today, Riz has a wonderful way of explaining what I call transmediumship, or what he describes as trans channeling, how it affected him and what affected his life. But let me share with you a story that I can remember reading about when I was very young. And it was, believe it or not, in the Reader's Digest. And it was about a man whose name was Arrigo. And the article was titled, The Surgeon with the Rusty Knife. Now, Arrigo is a man, and you can look it up on the internet. A-R-I-G-O is the spelling of his name. This is a man who was a phenomenal healer. In fact, there were scientists from around the world that would watch him work. And his story is extremely interesting because this was a man who worked in Brazil, lived in a village that was not a big village, had a good sense of humor, had a family, absolutely loved his family, was a strong Catholic, and the last thing in the world he ever thought would happen to him is that he would end up becoming that vehicle for a surgeon, a German surgeon, to be able to assist and empower people to be well. And it's an awesome story, but he started having experiences where he felt the presence of someone. And in his healing clinic, which was nothing fancy, it was just a room in a Mexican house, a Brazilian house. It was not unlike the adobe construction in Mexico. So very simple room, nothing fancy. They had a little wooden table, and there was a person that would sit there and write down everything that the German physician would give in the way of information. And one of the things that happened with Arrigo, it was found out by researchers that Arrigo had been evaluated by this German surgeon because this German surgeon had not felt like he had done very much with his life when he was in this experience. And so he wanted to make it up. But it wasn't just this German surgeon. There were other physicians that would come through Arrigo and do phenomenal healings. The reason he was called the surgeon with the rusty knife is because he used a rusty pen knife to do eye surgeries, all kinds of things. There was no anesthesia, but people never felt pain. And this went on up until the time he died from a heart attack. Interestingly enough, this man also knew that he wasn't going to be around and let people know that he was going to be passing on. They had started a hospital, and this hospital was going to be dedicated to the development of the skill in other people. And the last I understood is that his son was the one that was to be continuing the work. Now, in South America, in Brazil, what we would call spiritualism in the Western world, they called spiritism. And it is a mixture of various ethnic understandings. But it is, again, a talent that when a person is chosen for this purpose, it really makes a profound difference in their lives. Arrigo was put in jail. There's all kinds of interesting facets of information regarding his life. But the most important thing for the Western mind is that, number one, they wrote a book about him. And in the back of the book, there was information about the researchers that were there on premises with him when he was doing the work, where it was filmed, etc. And number two, that this is something that is meant to bring a lot of good into life. So there's a lot of things that when we look at them logically, it doesn't make sense. We'll say it just doesn't seem like this is the way it should be. And I, like Riz, will just say to people, open up your mind to the possibilities. Life is not a straight line. It is full of all kinds of curls and whirls and spirals and dead ends and all kinds of variables. And it is something that I have found for many people is very, very comforting. Those people that I know that have been committed and dedicated to this area of work typically really feel that they're contributing something very valuable to the lives and to the essence of life itself. Not that there aren't those that have been out there that have tried to make this into a fraud of one type or another. I'm not talking about those people. We have frauds in every profession. But I'm saying for those that are really committed to it, it really has a value, and it does make a difference, and it makes us aware that there's more to life than we usually perceive. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. And all I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial, and then after that, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anyone or anything that you're interested in. Digressing for a moment, teenagers. Oh my goodness, whenever we use that word, teenagers, it usually causes the hair to rise on the back of people's necks. Well, I've got news for you. We've got some real good news about the teenage population. Instead of bad-mouthing them, we need to give them some credit because, according to recent records, teen pregnancies are diminishing substantially. The National Center for Health Statistics said 39 out of every 1,000 girls ages 15 to 19 gave birth in 2009, and that's a historic low. Since 1990, the percentage of high school students who smoke or drink, that has declined, and fewer teenagers are drinking and driving or riding with drivers who have been drinking, and more students are wearing seatbelts, and significantly fewer are involved in fatal car crashes. And gun-related deaths involving teens have declined, so has the percentage of high school students who fight or carry a weapon, and the percentage of high school students who have seriously considered suicide has declined. And these are statistics from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And I think that kind of news is good news. It always saddens me when we talk down about young people because, hey, all of us were young at some time. Did we muck up? Absolutely. Who didn't? But part of being a teenager, being a young person, is being able to grow through certain things. And we have to grow through a lot of our unawareness when we're younger. I don't care what kind of an environment we've come from. That's what growing up is all about. Growing up into our own potential. And I'll tell you what, even as a mature woman, that growing up process has not stopped. It still goes on. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Now, by the way, for those of you in Western Washington, I want to let you know I'm going to be doing appearances at two particular locations this month. The first one is going to be on July 26th at the Progressive Spiritual Center, and that's at 6108 Mount Tacoma Drive, Southwest in Lakewood, Washington. It'll start at 6:30 in the evening. The fee of the door is $10. This is going to be a mini class on mental ecology, and I will have some books there, and we are just going to have a nice interactive class evening. So if you want to find out more about it, just go into my website, check out my newsletter. And then on the 30th, there's a major event. This is an all-day and evening event. It's going to be at the Best Western Plus River's Edge at 15901 West Valley Highway in Seattle. We here in the Pacific Northwest call it Tukwila, the south center area. There, that is going to be, that's where the hotel is located. Now, in the morning, this is a two-portion event. In the morning, from 10 until 4:30, we're going to have vendors, there's going to be readers, there's going to be healers, I'm going to be there, I'll have a table, I'll be doing many consultations for people and have different items available. And then at 4:30, that closes down. Now, this is free admission to the public. The second event starts at 6 o'clock in the evening and goes until 10. I am a VIP speaker. There are going to be a number of other people that are going to be speaking as well. We will be demonstrating and showing different demonstrations of psychic ability. Now, this is good because it shows you the differences, and there is a fee for that evening. It's $35. If you want to know more about the mediumship demonstration that Michael Shane is going to be giving, he's called a physical medium. There are others that are going to be there. Just go in to the Ascension Foundation website. The Ascension Foundation website, you can also call them at 206-356-6356. So I wanted to let you know those things are coming up. Now, tomorrow, for those of you that want to be an entrepreneur, you have thought about it. We're going through times that are demanding innovation and creative application of skills and abilities. Well, Carol Roth is going to be my guest tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the entrepreneur equation. Now, being an entrepreneur sounds very glamorous and glorious, but I guarantee you it's a lot of hard, hard work. And usually most entrepreneurs are involved 24/7. Very rarely do they feel like they have much time off. Well, Carol goes into how you can start as an entrepreneur and how you can look at dealing in a world of experience that maybe you lack, but you can learn quickly. And her book, The Entrepreneur's Equation, is a very good one. So that's going to be coming up tomorrow, and I invite you to join us and share the information with your friends. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, we are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I wanted to share a little bit of fact about vinegar. This is something almost all of us have in our households, and it is actually, believe it or not, a big industry. Well, what do we use it in? Well, we use it in our food dishes, don't we? Salads and gourmet cooking, it's very popular. But I'll tell you, one of the biggest uses for it is pickling food because it helps to preserve food. All of us are familiar with sauerkraut, but we are not aware often. We don't think about it. It's just not something that's in our heads that there are a lot of people that like to grow cucumbers and fix pickles and do all kinds of things. Now, there has been a tremendous rise in vinegar, and they often will find that it is a marvelous item to use to preserve foods because they don't deteriorate. Vinegar is a preservative, just like sugar and salt. Now, one of the things that's very good about vinegar is that you can use it for cleaning, and it's not going to have harmful side effects to you. So many people have developed allergies to various products that have come out over the years that when they're in environments where these chemical products are being utilized, they often will develop allergies. I'll give you a for instance. There is a woman, a client of mine, who after working in a hospital actually had to quit her job because of the cleaning materials that were used in the hospital for disinfectant. She found she became allergic to them. Digressing from that particular positioning, there is a friend of mine that I've known for years, and she works, she's a hairstylist. She actually had to give up her business because she developed an allergy, severe allergy, to the chemicals she was using in the shop, especially the chemicals that we use for permanence and or hair coloring and this type of thing. So she now is very much okay health-wise, but there were a number of years there where she was very, very sick. There's another person I know, a gentleman who's in the dry cleaning business, that he has developed an allergy. His body's become very toxic because of the chemicals that he's been exposed to for 20, 25 years now that he's been involved with that business. Well, vinegar doesn't have that effect. And I have some information in front of me. I mean, most of us, if we have coffee makers at home, we know that we can pour vinegar in the coffee makers and you can clean out any residue in your machine. Well, natural vinegar really can be a lot of good. So if you don't like the chemical compounds in your cleaning agents, this is something that you can use. This is vinegar. Now, if you want to keep your garbage disposal clean, try vinegar cubes. In other words, take one cup of vinegar, mix it with a sufficient amount of water, put it into a container, an ice tray if you have them, freeze it, and then run the cubes through the disposal. Then flush the garbage disposal after you do that with some fresh water. And if you want to keep the drain line on your dishwasher clean and fresh smelling, add a half a cup of white vinegar to the rinse cycle. Remove soap stain buildup on chrome and plastic fixtures by cleaning with a mixture of 1 teaspoon of salt dissolved in 2 tablespoons of white vinegar. I don't know that you've heard about that. And for mica tops, counters, you can clean with a cloth soaked in white vinegar. And it's amazing how your surface will shine. And if you have a cleaning rag and you use vinegar on that rag with a little bit of water, you can wipe out an oven. It prevents grease buildup. Don't do like I do sometimes when I'm cooking stuff in my oven and it's splattering all over the place, and just let it sit there. I won't clean it right away sometimes. So just use that, and it can help keep that grease level down. And if you're having chalky deposits left on your dinnerware and glasses, put the pieces back in the dishwasher, place a cup filled with vinegar on the bottom rack, run the machine for 5 minutes, stop the machine, empty the cup, which is now filled with water, refill it with vinegar, and complete the cycle. Follow with a complete cycle with dishwasher detergent. And something, too, this is good for cleaning out residue in your washing machine. Sometimes there can be some sudsy buildup in there. Some materials, depending on what you're using, will cake up. Just add vinegar to a wash load of water, and that'll clean it right out. It'll clean it up. Same thing, just as I said, with the dishwasher. So those are just a few little tips with a household item that's very, very inexpensive, and yet it works, and it is something that you can really enjoy. Now, by the way, I have 8 tickets left for the Buckley Washington, Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. Now, that's the first 3 weekends in August. If you would like to get your free family pass, that's right, this is for 2 adults, 2 kids, give me a call at my office or send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com, so I can mail it out to you. I will need your contact information, include your address, of course, and your phone number. So if you would like to have tickets to this wonderful, wonderful family event, then get in touch with me. I've been amazed. I was given 20 free passes, and I only have 8 left. So you are welcome to have one as well. Just give me a buzz and send me an email. If you're wanting to really eat out, but you say, oh, my budget just isn't going to do it well. Well, what you want to do is maybe think of some different applications when you eat out. If you see a lot of empty tables, let's say you go into a restaurant, there, ask them when they're going to be available. And sometimes they'll say, well, it's not for a while. And they're hoping that you're going to go into the bar, maybe order some appetizers and have some drinks and that type of things. Well, if you're on a budget, that you don't want to do. So what you can do to make things move a little swifter, you might want to tell the host or hostess that you're going to be late for a movie, a concert, or some other event, and what they'll do, they'll get you a table very quickly because they don't want you to walk out and not do business with them, and they don't want angry customers. Also, if you have the all-you-can-eat entrees, if you really think about it, lots of times it's more expensive than regular ones, and the regular dishes usually are smaller in size. So just be aware, if you're wanting to watch the dollars, don't go in for the all-you-can-eat because, really, it is quite expensive. So if you're hungry enough to eat more than one helping of food, but avoid filling up on the freebies. Lots of times restaurants will bring chips, or they will bring bread and butter and some other things to munch on and nibble. And if you're like me, you'll get so full on that, you really won't eat very much of what is available to you. And also, waiters will recommend how you can enhance any dish, and they'll say, how about a stuffed potato, something like this. Remember, this is what they want to do. If you have an a la carte menu, every item is going to compound your cost. So check out your menus before you order to decide exactly what you'll eat so you won't be vulnerable or susceptible to maybe adding more to that bill than what you like. Also, a tip that I and friends have done, we have found about different restaurants and their 4 to 7 o'clock specials, the happy hour specials. And I'll tell you what, sometimes their appetizers are just monstrous in size, and we'll share it. It's just a lot of fun, and it's an economical way to have a wonderful meal and spend time with friends. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a great day. See you back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.